Hey, welcome to NAV Church Online. We are so glad that you are watching where you are, because where you are is where the church is. Why? Because it's not a place. It's not a building. It's not brick and mortar. It's the people. It's me. It's you. It's those of us who attend. And so I know it may feel different than possibly your whole life. You could be actually new to being a follower of Christ, and you thought, I'm supposed to go to church every Sunday. Well, listen, if you are watching us online right now, if you participated in the worship with us, then I can just say this, the church has gathered. And so we're just so glad that you're with us. By the way, if this is maybe your first, second time tuning in, finding out more about Navigation Church, right below, if you're watching somewhere where you can leave a comment right now. Just say new or I'm here. And we would love to be able to connect with you, as well as fill out any of our guest forms. I know the moderators in the chat room will throw it up now for you to be able to find that in the About tab. But if you're just tuning in through YouTube or any of our other channels, we're so glad you're watching us today. So we've been in the conversation of School of Hard Knocks. And I thought about starting today by saying, listen, if you do not apply what it is that I'm going to talk to you about today, don't even bother listening. But then I realized just about every week I should start with, you should apply, you should take practical application to what it is we're going to talk about today. Because when it comes to the School of Hard Knocks today, we're going to talk about having a Swiss cheese mentality. Now, if you have no idea what I mean by that, you're going to have to watch all the way to the end. Unless, of course, you're watching somewhere where you can fast forward, then just kind of scroll over and you'll be able to watch it. But I want you to have a Swiss cheese mentality. But why would you have a Swiss cheese mentality? Why would you have this strategy in your mind if you don't know why you need it? And so that's what I'm going to tell you about. Actually, let's just go on a journey. Not even going to try to outline it for you ahead of time. I just need to tell you about this progression of thoughts that I've had. And it started with, I was having a conversation with an individual who is a trainer. Sometimes I think he's a motivational speaker, but he's actually a trainer at a gym. And we were just kind of chatting along. And he said something. He has said something that I've heard 20 times before, dare I say 200 times before. And when I heard it, it finally clicked. And it was kind of funny because I was frustrated that it never clicked like this before. And parents, if you're out there, you know exactly what I'm feeling right now. Because how many times have you repeated something to your kids 100 times? And all of a sudden they come home from school and they say, listen to this thing that I've learned, and they say it, and you go, I've said that to you 100 times. They go to Nav Kids, and all of a sudden they come back, and Miss Jen, Miss Sherry, Miss Cammy, someone said something to them, and all of a sudden they come back, and they have this amazing revelation and this mental eclipse that they've never seen before, and you go, I say that every single day. Your students show up to Nav Kids and all, or Nav students, they come home and Pastor Aaron is the smartest person they've ever met, but he just literally said or reiterated something you said 1,000 times before. So guess what? What I'm about to tell you, you've heard 1,000 times before. But as we were talking one day, this gentleman and I, this fitness coach, he made a comment, and we were specifically talking about working out. He said this, you know, anytime you say no to something, you're saying yes to something else. And man, I got it. It like opened my eyes, because if I say no to sleeping in, that means I can be saying yes to going to the gym. If that means I say yes to eating healthy, I'm actually naturally saying no to eating unhealthy, eating sugars, eating those unhealthy fats. And so I started thinking about that with today's conversation. Where in our life do we say no, which dictates that we actually decided a yes? Or where are we saying yes that we've turned our back on a healthy no? And so let's just kind of run through a couple examples. First of all, let's just talk about the weight loss, since I started the conversation with talking to a fitness guy. I want to show you this. You know what this is? It's 5 pounds of fat. And so if you are someone who's been wanting to lose weight and you go, I just need to lose about 5 pounds, well, this is it right here. And if you go, well, I need to lose 10 pounds and double this. And If you're in a bigger number than that, I want to encourage you to always get fit, be healthy. But when it comes to weight, it's easy for us to look at our life in this, you know, you got your belly fat, you got your love handles, you got your badonkadonk, you know, whatever it might be. I'm not sure I can. Am I allowed to say badonkadonk? Okay, so no, I'm not allowed to say badonkadonk. So we got all these things happening in our life. When it comes to weight loss, it's really easy to see what you want to lose there because it hangs on you. But the moment you say yes to that pie, you are saying no to losing this, right? Doesn't that, I mean, that practically, logically makes sense. The moment you say yes to working out, to getting on a treadmill, elliptical, the moment you say yes to counting calories, the moment you say yes to a lifestyle, guess what? You are actually naturally saying no to this. But it's easy. I want to use the weight loss thing because what if, in a different place, what if our emotional pain hung on us like body fat? What if on your shoulder you had type 2 unforgiveness? And every time you walked around, it could hang on it and it can see you. And you were faced with a point where a conversation came up and you have the opportunity to say yes to continue to forgive or no to forgiveness. And when you say no to forgiveness, this type 2 unforgiveness hangs on you even longer versus getting to the point of saying, yes, I'm going to choose to forgive. And forgiveness is a very hard thing. I'm bringing it up on purpose because it's amazing how many times you can be in conversations with people and they just keep bringing up the same thing over and over, and what you realize is they are stuck with this weight that is laying on them, and they may not see how ugly it is, but guess what? You can see it. I can see it. We can see it, but all too often, you know what we get used to? We get used to our belly fat and this emotional thing that is hanging around us. What about mentally? Let me ask you this. Do you have stage 3 doubt mentally? Do you have a doubt that is in your mind that everywhere you look, you kind of see it in your peripheral? And so you doubt who you are. You doubt what you've been called to. You doubt your potential. And no matter how many people around you encourage you, you mentally can't get past that point when so-and-so said this in your life and you've forever been locked in it. You have, can I say this? You have this weight on you, this mental weight. And every time you say yes to doubting yourself, you're saying no to the truth that other people are speaking inside of you. And I'd go even further than this. The moment you say no to believing the potential inside of you, you are actually saying not yes to the doubt, but no to what God has said about you. And we just leave this fat hanging on us. And what about spiritually speaking? We war against, well, the spirit and the flesh. This fat, comfortable, eat what I want, think what I want, do what I want all the time. But what if we saw our flesh that we war with our spirit, what if we actually saw it as a thing that hangs on us, a thing that is surrounding us all the time? I bet we'd start adjusting our spiritual perspective because here's what I want to tell you. You become who what you succumb to. You become who what you succumb to. And if you're always succumbing to, let's go wait. If you're always succumbing to junk food, guess what? You become obese. If you're always succumbing to unforgiveness, guess what? You become bitter. If you always succumb to doubt, you become someone with a lack of drive and the hope for a better future. And when it comes to our spirit, if we consistently succumb to the desires of our flesh, will never become the spiritual men and women that God has called us to. And so today, the school of hard knocks, I'm going to have to hopefully have a conversation with you of how do you say yes so that you can naturally say no? But where in our life do we need to say no so the byproduct of saying yes to the better you? And in saying all that, there's a scripture that I want to come to. There's actually, you've heard this one before, probably 1,000 times. Again, 1,000 times you've heard it. But it's in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, we're just going to actually most likely read two verses. I might sneak in a third one, but I'm going to challenge you, nav groups. I'm going to challenge you that are just naturally getting the word throughout the week. I'm going to actually challenge you to read verses 1 through 11 later on. But for right now, I'm going to make this so short, so small, so focused, so that you can see that you have been called to say yes to amazing things, but in order to say yes to some things, you need to be aware that no is the opposite side of that. And so here it is, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Let's just start with the first part. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, pause, let's just stop right there. We are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness. What does this even mean? Okay, well, first of all, it starts with the word therefore. Okay, so the word therefore means we just had a conversation about something else. Conversation about something else is in chapter 11, right? Wow, the intellectual and biblical prowess that I feel right now. We're in chapter 12 and came before that was chapter 11, but that's what this means, therefore. Therefore, chapter 11 was all about this Hall of Fame Christians, Hall of Fame believers, Hall of Fame followers of God and Jesus that went before you. And it says that this great cloud, this arena, this stadium that went before you, they are a great cloud of witness. And what does this look like? Well, in a very practical way, here's a little insight to who I am. I'm a podcast person. I enjoy listening. There's leadership podcasts that I listen to. By the way, if you ever want a list of the podcasts that I listen to, make sure to just hit us up on our social media, and I can fill it in at a different time. But I like, there's some leadership podcasts that I listen to on a weekly basis. There's some old school podcasts that I listen to for pure enjoyment. I'll actually listen to podcasts while I'm mowing grass rather than music, and music to me happens every 3 minutes, and you know how long you've been out mowing. Podcasts, you can get lost in it. But there's another one that I thoroughly enjoy. The Big Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal, Diesel himself. That's right. I listened to the Shaquille O'Neal podcast. He's thoroughly enjoyable. And in listening to him this past week, he was someone who became vocal about saying the NBA should cancel their season. And now his reasons are in depth, but one example that he gave was he used to go and play for the fans. He said, when I would get an alley-oop and throw it down, there was nothing like seeing the smile on a kid's face over there or watching a dad pull his son up to try to get a glimpse of us as he walked back into the locker room, or people yelling, can we get a picture with you, and stopping for a second. He said, I played the game for the fans, so the thought of being out in an empty arena where all you hear is thud, 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 hey, I'm open, watch the pick. He goes, how dead would that environment be? Because there's something about 5, 10, 20,000 people being a part of a victory with you, cheering you on, saying, you can do it. Go for the gold. You are victorious. And this great crowd of witness in the life that you're running right now, the race that you're a part of, the victories that you need to overcome, the battle still laying before you. If you ever feel like no one can hear your screams, I would say this to you, you're not hearing their cheers. Because there's this great cloud of witness that went before you, and you were never meant to be in the arena of life by yourself, but there's people saying, we did it, now you can do it. Get that mental picture of this weight, of this fat that you need to throw off of you right now. There are those that have run the race before you, and they are ready to cheer you on. And by the way, these are some of the biggest hitters ever. You have a guy named Abraham in chapter 11. By the way, I'm going a little longer than I planned to on this section. You may need to turn your TV up or computer right now, because I feel the preaching on me. And I just want to tell you, you can do this. There's a guy named Abraham, that God called him. Where did God call him? To go. What does that mean? this direction. I'm supposed to take the next step. Abraham didn't know his final destination, but he knew the direction that God was calling him. If you're sitting there right now and there's been something burning inside of you and you don't know what the end road looks like, but you know that God is calling you to take a step, there's a guy named Abraham sitting up in the bleachers right now going, "It's worth it, man. Go for it. Honey, get that job. Get that degree. Step out of your comfort zone." There's an Abraham up in the stand saying, "I've been there. Now you do it." And just imagine this Abraham cheering you on as this great cloud of witness. There's a guy named Joshua. Actually, Joshua himself isn't mentioned, but the walls of Jericho are mentioned in chapter 11 there. And that says has to be Joshua. And here's the craziest thing. And Joshua was told by God, "I'm going to be with you just like I was with Moses." And Joshua's going, "Man, you were with Moses." "Yeah, you were with Moses. You stood in front of Pharaoh and he threw down a rod and became snakes. And you had these 12 different plagues and God came out on top. And Moses hit a rock and water came pouring out. And Moses threw a staff in a water and it was clean. And when these snakes came out and bit everybody, Moses held up this serpent on a stick and everyone was healed. God, you're going to be with me just like you were with Moses." And here's the funny thing. God never showed up for Joshua in the way that he did for Moses. There's like no example. And actually, here's the best one I can give you. Moses came up to the Red Sea, stuck out his staff, and the waters parted. But when it was time for Joshua to go into the waters, Joshua took a step in and the waters didn't move. And he took a few more steps in and it came up to his knees. He's all the way up to his waist. And he goes, don't worry, guys. God's going to show up. But guess what? In a new and a different way, God showed up for Joshua in a powerful way. And Joshua's sitting up there saying this, "Listen, God might not look like to you what he does your pastor. God might not look like to you what he did to grandma and grandpa or mom and dad. But I'm up here cheering you on to say this. God will look uniquely for you in a way that he has for no one else. Step into the Red Sea. Step into your freedom. Step into what you're calling to." Joshua is up there as a huge cheerleader saying, "Go, go, go." But I know you're right there now listening and you're going, "But listen, I barely have a relationship with you, with Jesus." Don't worry. Rahab in chapter 11 is another one in those cloud of witnesses going, "Listen, I was in Jericho. I was a harlot. I wasn't a part of the Israelite nation, but God came in and saved me. I wasn't too far. I wasn't too gone. I wasn't too lost." You have this great cloud of people all around you saying, "Go for it. Go for it." And so I'm just telling you now that this journey that I'm going to tell you about, these steps that we're going to take, the Swiss cheese mentality, how are we going to get rid of this fat that's on us? Listen, you're not in this thing alone. There is a great cloud of witnesses all around you cheering you on. And what are they cheering you on to do? Well, it continues in verse 1 to say this, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sins that so easily entangle us." Hebrews 12, the middle part of verse 1 there saying, it's time for us. Listen, man, there's things that are going to hinder you. There's sins that are going to entangle you. And so it's interesting when we look at the word sin here, because if you think about sin, I think we usually think about sin, which is death, hell, and the grave, and the thing that Jesus gave us that freed us from that. And so what I would like to say is we need to think of sin here in three categories. Category number one is the penalty of sin. And guess what? When it came to the penalty of sin, you could not be freed from that. No matter what you did, no matter how much money you gave, no matter how many good deeds you set out to do, you could not actually be freed from the penalty of death. Jesus had to do that for you. And by the way, here's how powerful this is. I know we've recently talked about this scripture, but there was a time where Jesus was hanging on the cross. And it actually says that he who knew no sin became sin. The actions that you've taken, the sin that you've done, the marks that you've missed, Jesus became that for you. And it was so ugly that you remember this where Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God never turned his back on his son, but he did turn his back on the sin. Or if I could say it this way, God turned his back on you. Because we were sin. We were that thing. But God so loved the world, he gave his one and only begotten Son. And by the way, his one and only begotten Son became the sin that we were and the penalty that was attached to it. He paid it. He paid that sin so that we could be free. And so when it comes to the penalty of sin, there's nothing you can do to pay that. Well, I guess there is one thing. Believe in Jesus. Believe that there will be a day that when we stand in heaven between at the judgment seat of God, God will go, man, you are guilty. And all of a sudden Jesus goes, but look at him through this filter. And our sins will be removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And so, yeah, there's the penalty of sin. And so when it comes to saying, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sins that so easily entangle us, well, we can't throw off that sin because Jesus takes that sin from us. So what are we talking about? Well, maybe another way to look at it is the presence of sin. When it comes to the presence of sin, here's what you need to know. It's all around us. Sin is available at any time. And I've had this discussion, I keep using the phrase 1,000 times, but let's go with it again. I've had this discussion, well, if God loved the world so much, why didn't he take away sin? Well, because, well, he gave us free will and choice. And mankind chose to have this. But you know what I found to be true? I have found that in the presence of a no, you can have strength to get a yes. I have found in the presence of a struggle that you can find your strength. And so in the presence of sin, you're going to constantly be surrounded with the decision of, am I going to say no to one thing in order to say yes to something else? Am I going to say no to a physical weight in order to say yes to a weight loss? Are you going to say no to, no, I'm not going to continue to think that way and have type 2 unforgiveness, but I'm going to say yes to forgiveness in order to become strengthened in my resolve not to live in that place? Am I going to say no to my stage 3 doubt and who I am and what I am and what I believe so that I can say yes to something else? And when it comes to your spiritual life, if we never had to say no to sin or the temptation of it, why would we ever say yes to God? Why would we ever say yes to a closer relationship to him? Because if there is no sin, if there is no temptation, if there is no pain, why would we ever turn to a solution that we never feel like we need? And so the presence of sin is real and alive, but God uses that in order to turn us to him, in order to give us an opportunity to say yes. Why? Because, well, you become who what you succumb to. And so I'm saying yes to the spiritual life, so I become the spiritual man that God has called me to, or you, a spiritual woman that God has called you to. So you have the penalty of sin. We can't cast that off. Jesus took that for us. When it comes to the presence of sin is always going to be around us. So how could we possibly cast that off? We need to be aware that we're going to constantly be in a struggle of a yes-no decision when it is around. So I would say this. Is this talking about the practice of sin? The practice of sin. The practice of doing something that is unhealthy, or the flip side, yes-no, would be doing something that is healthy. The practice of sin in our life, and when I say the sin, we could use the word habits, we could use the word tendencies, we could use the words behaviors, but it is the thing that slows us down from being who we want to be. And I would even go as far as saying there are some things in our life that maybe aren't sin, but they're slowing you down from who you're supposed to be, or what you want to become, or the dreams that are in front of you. Like procrastination. Is it a sin? Maybe not all the time, but why not do what you can do today in order to achieve what your dreams are for tomorrow? Is sitting down on the couch relaxing for an hour watching a TV show sin? Well, maybe not, but let me ask you this. Practicing that too often means you're saying yes to this TV and no to a discipleship or a training that you'd want to do in your life. And so when it comes to the practice of it, here's what I would say in the scripture that we are clearly seeing. It is you're responsible to lay down certain things in your life. Lay down things that are hindering you, entangling you. And so when it comes to kind of what are these things, well, let's read just a little further. So it's time now that we're going to run. This is the end of verse number one. We're going to run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. So the first thing I'm going to tell you this is there are things in your life because the penalty of death has been, of sin has been paid for. The presence of sin will always be around you. And if it's always around you, that means you're never going to stop feeling its influence. So when it comes to practicing throwing off the weights that so easily entangle you, you need perseverance because it's going to be a daily, hourly, by the second thing that you're going to struggle with. You need to make sure to continue running the race that is for you. But when it comes to running this race with perseverance, I need to know what is my goal? What is the end line? What is this thing who I want to become so I can continue to succumb to what it is I'm making myself out to be? This is it. When it comes to the weights that you need to throw off, two thoughts for you. Number one, you know it. I know that sounds so easy, almost contrite if you would. But if I were to ask you right now, what is the thing that you carry around with you? What is the 5 pounds of fat that you carry as weight, emotional, mental, spiritual, figuratively or physically? What is the weight that you carry around? You know that answer. You know that doubt, that addiction, that shame, that guilt, that remorse. You know it. The question is, how do you throw it off? You got to have a Swiss cheese mentality, which we're going to get to in just 1 second. I haven't forgot about my Swiss cheese. But then the other thing I would say is, you need to know who Jesus is. What is this thing that we're running towards? What is this model that is before us? What is this inline goal that we desire? Because if you think about it, if you think about who is the best you, well, the best me when I was 20 was one thing. The best me when I was 30 was another thing. Now that I'm in my 40s, the best me looks back at the best them and think them were idiots. They didn't know anything. They were immature. They were incomplete. They were wavering in what their decisions was. And so I'm always going to be changing my definition of the best me. But what if the goal of who I want to be never changes, and that is the author and the perfecter of my faith, Jesus Christ. Using him as the model, him as the outline, the guidelines for who I'm supposed to become. So you go on to read verse 2, it says this, we need to be fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. So how do you get perfect faith? And this is where I'm going to punt the question to you. I need you as NAV groups, I need you as individuals, I need you as a family. Read Hebrews 12, verses 3 through 11 now. Because in that, it's going to talk about discipleship and discipline and the Father and the sons that he loves. This whole conversation is going to happen there. And why is it that this part of Hebrews 12 is there after talking about the setting our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith? But we need to know that those things are there for a reason. So I'm going to let you do your own Bible study on that. But I would say this, for the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross. So there is a joy before me. What is the joy before me? Being the best me. There's a joy being that these weights that I've been carrying that are absolutely exhausting to hold up all the time, those weights can be off of me. These guilt, these doubts, this unforgiveness, this spiritual flesh warfare that I'm always in the middle of deciding what am I saying yes to, but naturally saying no to, this constant war that I always have with me, I need to know that I can find freedom from these things. And by the way, scorning the shame, enduring the cross, and I finally get to sit down at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And so guess what? In this perseverance journey that you're going to be taking, there's work. There's pain. There's the crucifying of our flesh. There's the ability to say no so you can say yes to the greater. And so you just have to be aware of it. And all around, you need to know this, that there is a great cloud of witnesses around you going, you can do this. You can become more Christ-like every single day. you can get to where it is on this journey that he's calling you to. And so I want to tell you in the most practical ways, I think this is an incredible practical tool that we have for you today. But before I do that, I need to start with this. Before you just try to start applying life applications, this works because you know who you're working with. And if you're there right now and you're listening to me and you do not know about the author and the perfecter of your faith, if you're unaware of who this man named Jesus is, I think I've done a fairly accurate job describing who he is when I say this, that you had a penalty of death. And you know what the penalty of death is? You die small times all the time when you lie and you feel bad inside. When you do an action, take a drink, take a puff, tell a lie, whatever it might be, and inside of you, you feel dark. That's what we would call sin. And that sin has separated you from Christ. And because of that sin that you have in your own free will and your own volitional choice have made, you deserve death, hell, and the grave because there's a penalty for it. But the penalty was paid by Jesus Christ. Nothing that we've done, nothing what you can say, but because he chose to come out of heaven to die on the cross for you. And if you are here today, before we go into a practical way to cast off these things, I want to say to you, the best thing for you to do is cast off the penalty of death onto Jesus Christ. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but right now inside of you, you know that you should and you want to, I'm going to ask you to say a really simple prayer. Scriptures say to us this, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that we're saved, it's as simple as that. So if you're by yourself, I'm going to ask you to say it out loud. If you're with friends and family right now, say it loud and proud. Let them know the decision that you've made. But say this with me, and I'm going to keep looking right at you. Say this. Say, Jesus, today is the day that I am tired of this spiritual weight, a weight of sin, a weight of death, a weight of destruction. I cast it off to you. Forgive me of my sins. Become Lord of my life. And I recognize that my payment has been paid by you. So today, I give you my debt. God, I thank you for every person that said that prayer for the very first time today. I thank you for every individual that is now going to find freedom in a way they never have before because they cast off their sin to you and you're going to take the penalty. Now, Holy Spirit, come alongside of them where they're going to be in the constant presence of sin. Make yourself known so that they can no longer practice that sin, the one that grieves you, the one that weighs on you. Holy Spirit, help them begin now casting off those weights that so easily beset them. Let them cast them off now because you will show them how to break off the practice of sin. I say all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you made that prayer and that decision for the first time ever, I'm so excited and so proud of you. Again, I have one more very practical tool. I'm going to step right back here and show you right now. But before that, if you said yes to that for the very first time, can I ask you, send us a note. Some of you just stream this live from our website or our app. Some load up YouTube. Others are on Facebook where it's easier just to kind of leave a comment. Please leave a comment right now. Let us know. Click the yes tab that popped up on your screen. Let us know that you've made that decision to say yes to Jesus Christ today so we can celebrate with you. But for right now, here's what I want to do. We talk about what it looks like to cast off our weights. But the question is, in a practical way, how do you take this 5 pounds of fat, how do you take this weight, this emotional, mental, spiritual weight, and cast it off? And I want to talk to you about the Swiss cheese analogy. Because here's what happens in our life. We all know Swiss cheese, and this is a very big hole, very big piece of Swiss cheese. Swiss cheese has holes in them. And because of this hole, what happens is many times in our life, we make a decision to be better somewhere. And so let's say this, we make the decision to lose weight. But can I tell you now, in that decision, there's a lot of holes. There's a lot of holes on that because most of the time the decisions that we make out of personal dedication and we go to the extreme, right? You're going to throw away all your sugar. You're going to throw away all the unhealthy food. You're going to start going to the gym all the time. You're going to wake up early. You're going to watch it. And we throw everything into it and we throw everything into one plan and that plan has a massive hole in it. And so in throwing that in, here's what I want to say. And right now, let's just start with this. Let's start with weight loss, right? Because that was our first example, but then we'll break down some other ones. Here's what the Swiss cheese mentality says. The Swiss cheese mentality says, if you add enough layers, you begin covering up your holes. And so then pieces of cheese number one says, I'm going to make the decision to do this. And that's fantastic. Nice big hole. Glad you made that dedication. So number two is, I'm going to lay out a plan that involves a six-month change. Why change everything day number one when you're planning on making this a lifestyle? So now I'm going to put together a fantastic on paper 6 month plan. And can I just tell you what happens? You add another layer of Swiss cheese. But I want to tell you, your Swiss cheese still has holes in it. Why? Because now on a piece of paper, a decision that you made that by yourself, you're going to be better. Now, it is a good plan, but it's an incomplete plan. So what you end up doing is, and here's what I'd say, this is where you add layers. How do you strip off the weights that so easily entangle you? The Swiss cheese thinking says this, you add multiple layers to the decision that you're making in order for it to be easier to say yes to the thing that you want, which naturally says no to the thing that you don't. So now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find a workout partner. I'm going to find a workout partner that I can become accountable to. And every single time we can go down to the gym together. And when we go down to the gym together, if I don't show up, he, she is giving me a call. Guess what? You've added now three layers to your cheese. And in adding it, that circle, that excuse, the things that so easily entangle us, it becomes a lot more difficult for it to get to us. So now my problem is I wake up in the morning, and when waking up in the morning, I always just want to go back to bed because I hit my alarm clock. So you know what I'm going to start doing? I'm going to start putting my alarm clock on the other side of the room. And in putting my alarm clock on the other side of the room, I now have added one more layer into my Swiss cheese. And guess what? This thing that was a massive hole, this thing that wasn't going to ever change your life because it wasn't layered enough, guess what? It starts getting a lot smaller. And then, you know what? For me, I hate losing money. I don't know about you. I hate losing money. Money's a big deal to me. Now, not losing money, there's still holes all throughout that thought because guess what? There are times that I'm driving by because I'm a guy, I see something shiny, I think I need it. Probably don't need it, but there's still holes in my thinking. But now I'm going to make a challenge with a group of friends of mine, and I'm going to do a 30-day challenge, and after that a 60-day training, and then after that a 90 days. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to put $20 in the pot. And $20 at the end of the month, whoever never missed a day gets that pot. So I've added a fifth layer of cheese to my thinking. And guess what? No holes anymore in my Swiss cheese thinking. Why? Because I've added layers to the thing that I want to be free from to make it more difficult for me to say no to the life I don't want. Or excuse me, it's making it more difficult to say yes to the life I want by saying no to the life I don't want. So here's saying we can do this example again, all over again. When it comes to your emotional health, when it comes to, let's say, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness of a loved one that's been in your life, a pain in the past, a church that has hurt you, a boss that annoys you. So step number one, you just say, hey, I'm gonna find forgiveness in this area. But then I know that's not gonna be enough. And so here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna find someone that I can trust, that I can share this unforgiveness with, and let them know the pain. So any time this unforgiveness tries to poke its way back through in the holes in my plan, I'm going to be able to share that with them. But, you know, not only am I going to find that person to share to, I'm going to take time to write a letter. I'm going to take a time to write the letter to this individual that has hurt me so much that I haven't been able to unforgive. And guess what? I may send the letter. because it's a close relationship and I want to find ways to bridge this gap, I may just write this letter so that one day I can throw it away or burn it so I can actually throw it away. So I'm going to add another layer of cheese into it. And guess what? The thing that I'm always unforgiven of is my boss. My boss drives me nuts. Every time I come in, he attacks me personally. She attacks me personally. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to add another layer, and this layer is going to be this, that the next meeting that I go into, I will not listen to what they have to say as a personal attack in any way, shape, or form. I am going to pull out of it what it is they were trying to communicate. And then after that, I'm going to find an accountability person, which, by the way, they're full of holes. They're never going to be complete for you. I'm going to find an accountability partner that I can call. And in calling them, I'm going to reiterate the practical things my boss said to me in order for my boss to tell me how to do my job better, but I will strip away everything that was an emotional attack. See, we can go down every one of these roads emotionally, spiritually. Let's go with this one. I know there could be kids in the room, but let's just be honest with each other. You know, I know a lot of men and women deal with the issue too, but you say, I want to be free from pornography. So you know what you do? You come up with this first, and it's just a flimsy, like, I'm going to be free from this thing, but let's be honest, there's a huge hole in it. You're saying it because you got caught. You're saying it because you feel guilty in the moment, but it's just absolutely riddled with holes. But you know what? Let me ask you this. Would you be willing to add another layer to this flimsy excuse or flimsy desire to say no to pornography so you can say yes to holiness? Would you be willing to actually tell someone else about it? Being your spouse, an accountability partner. But then, you know, you're still going to struggle with, so here's what you're going to do. You're now going to take your computer, and you're going to put your computer in a public place where you can never be alone with it. And by the way, at night, your phone stays on the kitchen cabinet, not by your counter. Well, it's my alarm clock to wake up. Listen, are you more free to say, or you have a greater desire to say yes to holiness than no to the sin that is so easily holding you back and keeping you down? You'll never go into the restroom. You'll never go into a private place with your phone by yourself. It'll always be used in a public setting. And then this is a huge one. There's a big hole in this one, but it's true. It can happen. In the next phase in layering your cheese, would you be willing to upload software? I think it's called Private Eyes, that anytime you go to a questionable website, there's a list of people that immediately get emailed saying that you've gone to it. So here's the thing. The more layers of cheese that we can add to our freedom of sin, the more layers of cheese, because any one piece of Swiss cheese has a hole in it, but the more layers that we begin adding to it, guess what? We say to ourselves, we no longer want to practice sin. And in no longer saying no, we don't want to practice sin, we're naturally saying yes, we want to practice spirituality. And in practicing spirituality, you have this great cloud of witnesses that are saying to you, that's how it's done. This is how you accomplish it. And so if you want freedom from smoking cigarettes, if you want freedom from alcohol or drug abuse, great, make that decision. Wonderful, join a small group in order to set that freedom aside. But guess what? Give someone your credit card. Give someone your cash if you can't stop spending. Get permission every time. Make it difficult for yourself to find a way to practice sin. And when you practice sin, guess what? We begin throwing off these weights that hold us back, these weights that you're sick of, these weights that you're tired of, these weights that are so exhausting, and you begin setting your eyes on the perfecter of your faith, Jesus Christ, and guess what? You become more like him. You become more generous. You become more loving. You begin looking out for other people, not trying to sneak out on your own to get your own thing and get your own fix, and you start becoming the best you. Does that best you keep changing? Absolutely. But hopefully it keeps changing because we've considered him, verse 3, who is in opposition of all of those sinners. And guess what? We won't grow weary and we won't go tired because we are following Jesus. I want to thank you for watching today. I want to encourage you. I said it at the beginning. I'm going to say it again. I want to encourage you to practically think this through. What is it that you want to throw away? And what is the three, four, five, six pieces of Swiss cheese you're going to put in place to cover up every hole that you can so that you can live the life that God's called you to. I bless you today. I pray that God continues to shine his face down upon you. I cannot wait to see you again face to face. But until that time, I want to encourage you to continue taking your next steps in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ.